Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. You may be seated again this morning. I've got more scriptures I'm going to share with us this morning. If you haven't learned by now, when Brother Pepper preaches, you're going to have scripture upon scripture upon scripture. Amen. And some expounding upon that scripture, because it is the Word of God that's infallible. Men are fallible. Get that in your mind. Men are fallible. You and I are fallible. You and I make mistakes. You and I respond wrongly to certain situations, circumstances, all the time. Thank God for grace and mercy. When we realize what we've done, we can call on the Lord, and He renews us, refreshes us, forgives us, and gets us on the right path. Hallelujah. But here Jesus Christ is speaking, and He's saying, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So here we find we've got Jesus speaking. He's giving a command. He's telling us that the Spirit of God is speaking. And He tells us who the Spirit of God is speaking to: the church. Now, if you're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of the church. It's not talking about just Calvary Lighthouse Church. It's talking about the believers that follow Jesus Christ. And so we see that Jesus is speaking, the Spirit of God is speaking, and the part for the church is hearing. And when we hear, it brings change. Didn't say listening, hearing. You know, proverbial, we realize sometimes the wife's talking and they say, "Are you listening to me?" And we automatically say, "Oh yes, dear, I'm listening." "Then what did I say?" "I heard your voice. There was words in it." So what does that illustration mean? That means I didn't hear what she said. It could go the other way too, of men speaking to their wives and parents speaking to their children, and sometimes even children speaking to their parents. I was notorious as my kids were growing up. If I'm locked into my box, if I'm locked into what I'm doing, they can come up, start talking to me, and I'll have no idea what they said when they left. Why? Because I was more consumed with my thoughts than their thoughts. Bear in mind, as I preach here this morning, of that statement. God's in the house. God's speaking. Are you more interested in your thoughts or His thoughts? Are you more interested in what you think or what He thinks? And what I want to preach on this morning, if it isn't already up there, is reality check. Yes, Brother Cisneros, I use that word quite frequently because it seems to be the thing lacking in the church. Reality. Reality. We got a lot of folks that know about it, but they don't know it. Reality check. Reality check. Amen. What do we see going on here in the book of Revelation as Jesus Christ is giving the messages to the seven churches? And realize, I'm not going to read all the scriptures here in Revelation this morning, but realize He spoke to all seven churches there in the book of Revelation. And He spoke to he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God or the Spirit says to the churches. He said that to all seven churches. And he gave a promise to him that overcomes will receive. And so that gives me also an understanding of what it means to hear. Because if I hear, then I'll be an overcomer. If I give ear to the Spirit of God, revealing the Word of God, then it will automatically produce me an overcomer for the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus is speaking here in the book of Revelation. What is He doing right here? Well, if you will, He's giving the seven churches, which means He's still talking today to the church. He's giving them a reality check. Are you an overcomer? Well, I don't know. It depends on what I need to overcome. Well, there's a question there. Are you an overcomer? The answer should be yes. Why? Because you've just had a recent reality check in your life, and that's your desire to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. And so you see, then the answer should come automatically. If there's been a reality check in my spiritual being and in my spiritual life, and I'm tested, are you an overcomer? My answer will be yes. Hallelujah. Have you ever failed? Yes. Well, then how can you be an overcomer? Because I realized my failure and I overcame it. And I called on the Lord. Hallelujah. And He gave me strength and He gave me victory and He gave me power. And I listened to what He had to say to me. And as I became obedient to His word, I became an overcomer. Whoa, that's the only way to be an overcomer. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In Psalms 119, verse 89, it says, forever. Does anybody know how long that is? Forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now this next scripture is for those who say, well, yeah, but that's Old Testament. Well, we firmly believe that the Old Testament and New Testament have been inspired by God. And they're all God's word in the King James Version. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I can talk to you all about that later. I'm not going to preach about it right now. But, there's a reason the King James Version was the version for the English-speaking people for so many hundreds of years. It's because God ordained it and God's hand was upon it and God was with it and God used it to save multitudes of millions. I don't understand why somebody come along and thought we needed something new. So sad. And it has been the sad demise of many. It has. So sad. But in 1 Peter 1 and 25, it also says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's by God's word that you are saved this morning. It's by God's word you found out and realized that you were a sinner. That you needed a Savior. It's by God's word. But what bothers me sometimes, not so much bothers me, but intrigues me, is why people will take God's word and say, yep, God's word, that's how I got saved. Well, how come you won't take God's word and say, that's how I live? You need a reality check. And God didn't send His Son to die on the cross of Calvary just so I could have a one-time experience of being born again by the Spirit of God. He sent His Son to die on Calvary that the plan of salvation might go into action, whereby I can have forgiveness of my past sins and I can have newness of life and power from above to start living and walking in the light of His Word. Woo, praise be to our God. Reality check this morning. Reality check. What light are you walking in? What light do you use to make your decisions? Well, for the child of God, it's God's word. That's what we use to make our decision. It's not that whim. It's not that feeling. It's not that emotion, though. God's word will bring out the fullness of your emotions in a good way. Hallelujah. It'll bring out that joy. It'll bring out that peace. See, those are emotions. Hallelujah. It'll suppress that anger, that frustration. I mean, it'll bring out all the good things of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This is what reality checks are all about. In Matthew chapter number 16, so we've established that God's word it's going to endure forever, and it's forever settled in heaven, and so we can count on God's word. Hallelujah. And Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21, we find some situations about things being spoken by the Lord, but not being heard. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Matthew 16, verse 21 through 23, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He did not get an amen out of one of his disciples. He did not get a praise the Lord out of one of his disciples. But here's what he got from Peter, who was always the first one to speak up of what everybody else was feeling at the same time. But Peter was always the spokesman, and he was the one that was bold enough to go ahead and speak up. And then Peter took him. Can you picture this in your mind? They're standing there with Jesus all together, and then all of a sudden Peter gets a hold of him and takes him aside. What's he going to do? He's going to tell Jesus how it really is. Woo, come on now. I mean, we think that's strange, but he doesn't understand fully what he's doing, but it's just the emotion welling up inside of him because that's not what he wanted to hear. Keep that in mind. Then Peter took him and began to do what? Rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not. In other words, you're not desiring the things that are of God. You're desiring what you want. Hello. Thou not savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What happened? Peter had a great, outstanding carnal moment because he didn't hear what was being said to the church. He had his own thoughts going on about what he thought the Messiah was going to do, about what he thought Jesus should be done to Jesus. And this was not according to the thought pattern of Peter about the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But he had lost sight at that moment, mind you, of who he was talking to. Have you ever lost sight of who you were talking to when you were praying? Have you ever started complaining and telling God just how wrong he's been and how bad he's treated you? Because you weren't really paying attention to what you were doing. You were just caught up in that habit of prayer. And all of a sudden, your own feelings, your own emotions just blubber right out of those lips of what you're feeling like. And all of a sudden, you wake up and you're complaining, you're grumbling, and you're blaming God. Whoa, where'd that come from? Well, that's one of those carnal moments. We all have them from time to time. And it's time for a reality check of who he is, what he has done, and what he wants to do when I will hear him. Hallelujah. See, this is a whole key factor. The power of God moving in my life is totally hinged on me hearing the Spirit of God as he brings God's word to me. That's where the power hits the road. Hallelujah. That's where the power is supplied. As long as I'm still thinking my own thoughts, wanting my own desires, and doing my own thing, there will be no power in my life. But it's when I will realize it's time for a reality check and hearing what God is saying unto me. In John 14 and 5, they realize Peter's response is because it's not what he wanted to hear. It's not what Peter wanted. In John 14:5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Going on here. Thomas is not hearing because Thomas is possibly discouraged and disappointed. It's linked to Peter's problem too, but it's went to the place in Thomas where he just wonders, why pray? Discouraged. Disappointed because it didn't go your way. And so he couldn't hear what Jesus was speaking to the disciples, what Jesus was speaking to him personally. You see, this is a very important thing to learn as a born-again believer, spirit-filled believer, is that God is always talking to you and I. God is always ministering to you and I. It's not a matter, is God still talking today? Stamp that approved. Yes, God is still talking today. But what the problem today is the hearing part. Hearing what God is speaking to us on a personal plane. I preached a revival service at a church between here and Timbuktu. I mean, I was preaching my heart out, and the congregation was getting behind me. And after service was over, a certain individual come up to me, and he was just so excited. I mean, he was ecstatic. And he said, Brother Pepper, that's one of the best messages I've ever heard. I mean, there was so much in there. There was so much. Oh my, I was so excited. I just kept shoveling it over and over and over because that individual that came in that was sitting behind me, they needed that so bad. Whoa. I'm just sitting there grinning at this individual. And, you know, I had to really bring my composure under control because I almost had a carnal moment. You got to be kidding me. Woo. Yeah. Now we laugh at that. And how many times have you done that sitting on your pew? Thinking about, oh, that message would be good so-and-so. Oh, that message would be good so-and-so. That message ain't for so-and-so. It's for you. It's you. Yeah, it's for me, and it's for so-and-so too. Don't misunderstand me, but when your mind frame and your thought is about somebody else and not your need, you missed it. He threw it straight to you, and you missed it. I mean, you know, picture in your mind, you got the ball glove on, if you will, you know, and the Lord's throwing the ball straight to you, and it hits your glove and flops on the floor. Or it hits the tip of your glove and flies over. Now, if you've ever thrown ball to kids, what's the thing you always tell them when you're trying to teach them? Keep your eye on the ball. What I've always noticed is their eye is on the glove. Or their eye is upon you. And I've seen it so many times. You throw the ball, they're looking at you, it hits their glove and falls on the ground. Why? Because they weren't watching the ball come into the glove so they could close it and catch it. Cleave unto the Lord. Woo, how you got to catch it. Hallelujah. He's bringing it your way. He's bringing it your way. He's bringing His word to you to bring life, but you've got to lay hold of it and bring it in and let it have its way in you. So Thomas, he couldn't get a hold of this either because of discouragement and disappointment. Once again, it's linked to the fact that it just wasn't going the way he thought it ought to go. Sometimes it's one of the hardest things for us as believers to learn that God's way is always the best way. Yes, God's given us a mind. He's given us a mind to think. He's given us a mind so we can have wisdom. He's given us a mind so we can have decisions, make decisions. But He's given us the Spirit of God so all those decisions can be right decisions. Godly decisions. Holy decisions. Hallelujah. Because just because we have the capability of doing these things doesn't mean we always let the Spirit of God use our facility. Yeah. You have to let Him come in and you have to let Him have His way and you have to listen to what He's saying. And when you do, it will change your life. It will change your decisions. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So Jesus then establishes this in John 15 and 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Notice these are speaking terminologies. The Spirit of truth. He's going to testify. He's going to speak to me, to the believers. The truths of Jesus Christ. John 16, 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So now we have got audio and visual. He's going to make it look. And we're going to be able to see it. How many realize that words paint a picture in your mind when you listen to them? Stop and think about this just for a moment. I'm going to use this for an illustration. Barta skid steer from Bison Built. And when I was talking to Lucas, he said, okay, now there's several little things you got to do that aren't normal in this skid steer that would be normal in other skid steers. In other words, there's been some components replaced to do the same thing, but you got to know which component does what. Mainly a toggle switch. And I even asked Timmy, I said, okay, what's the key to running this skid steer? You know, of course, Timmy didn't realize nor understand that I worked at Tulsa New Holland for about, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, and I used a skid steer every day. So he was taking it like I knew nothing about this skid steer. And in reality, I knew nothing about that skid steer because it was not like all the other ones because it didn't have the buttons in the right spot. And so I'm listening to Timmy, and he's telling me, okay, there's a black button. Okay, what's the first thing I do? In my mind, I picture the skid steer inside the cab of the skid steer, sitting in the seat. Okay, where's this black button? And so I watch him when he's talking to me, and he looks to the left. You ever notice how when you're talking, he's talking, there's a black button, and he reaches with his left hand. Okay, so in my mind, I'm sitting in that cab. I'm looking up at all the controls, and somewhere over here, there's a black button. I said, what's this black button do? He said, well, that starts it. Okay. He said, but you got to turn the key on. So I'm sitting in that seat in my mind. The picture's there. All right, the key should be right over here. So you turn it on. And he said, then after you turn the key on, push the black button. Of course, you got to remember the seatbelt's got to be buckled. So is that how you think? Do you put a picture in your mind when someone's describing something to you so you can get a full understanding? Or do just the words automatically compute in your mind? It's there. Mine's not that way. I got to have the picture in my mind. Even though it comes from words, I got to have the picture in my mind. Long story short, there was a new toggle switch, and you had to turn this toggle switch on so all the hydraulics would start working, and you could use the lift, you could use the drive. Really, it was no big deal. It was just different. But before I ever got in that skid steer, I already knew in my mind what I was looking for because of what he told me. And even then, it took me a little bit to find it because it wasn't exactly like I had envisioned it. So I had to change my vision to what? And sure enough, there was still a black button over here. Believe it or not, Timmy, I looked for that black button everywhere, because I figured it's going to be where all the buttons were supposed to be. And no, it's out here just hooked to the side of the cab. So I had to change my vision. I had to change my picture so that I could push that button and start that machine. Now, what would have transpired if I was stubborn and say, nope, that's not where I thought it ought to be? And because that button ain't where I thought it ought to be, I'm not going to push it. I'm going to make this skid steer run some other way. How many times have you done that with God? God says, right here's the black button. All you got to do is push it, and it'll go. Ah, it's not where I thought the button would be. That's not how I thought God would do it. Is that not Naaman the leper? In the story in the Old Testament, well, I thought he would come out and do such and such and do this, and all he told me to do is go wash in a muddy river. Ah. Yeah. He that hath an ear. What is that? Humility. Knowing that my vision and my mind frame needs always adjusted so it can do what God wants done. Amen. That's humility. Hallelujah. Humble before God, ready to hear what the Spirit is saying of the church. So we see then the Comforter's coming. The Spirit of God's coming. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. He shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show of things to come. He'll glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. He shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall not take of mine and will show it unto you. Isn't it amazing? You see, the Holy Ghost is going to use our ability to create a picture in our mind of what he desires for us to do. When the word comes to our ear, the Spirit of God will then write that vision in our mind so we can see clearly what God is speaking to us. That's that anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's that moving of the Spirit of God. He's going to show it to you. Not only is it going to be spoken to you, but the Spirit of God is going to see to it that your mind receives it just like He wants you to receive it. You'll see the picture. You'll see the picture. How many remember that little cartoon of when someone sees the picture and the light bulb comes on over their head? Hallelujah. What is that? That means they got it. They heard it. They see the picture. A lot of times in those cartoons, and that's usually where that happened, a picture would come up along with that light bulb of exactly what needed to be done. You know, that's humorous, that's funny, but that's exactly how the Spirit of God operates in our lives. His Word will come to us. He'll put the picture there so we can see it plainly, and we'll know it's God. And then all of a sudden we turn it off. Because it's not what we wanted to see, and it's not what we wanted to hear. Whoa. And thus we'll go on in our same bondage. We'll go on in our same dilemma. We'll go on in our same problem because we're not wanting to receive what God's bringing to us. We don't want the reality check He's bringing. The reality check He's bringing. What is reality? Reality is the quality or state of being actual or true. Okay. What is truth? Age-old question. What is truth? Most people that ask that question, they don't want to know truth. They just want to look for a way to get away from it. Pilate was the first one I've ever heard say that. What is truth? Well, why did Pilate say that? Because he felt conviction. He had truth in front of him. Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. He had Him right there standing in front of him, and he realized he had truth in front of him, but he turned away from it. The quality or state of being actual or true. Synonyms of reality are actuality, fact, factuality, materiality, being, commodity, entity, existent, individual, individuality, object, something, and here's the one I'm after, substance. Substance. So reality is substance. Something you hang on to. Substance. Reality. Truth. The state of being true. Wow. God's Word is reality. What's real? Right there. God's Word. It's real. It's actual. It's the facts. Woo. Reality. Hallelujah. Now, what's a reality check? A reality check is something that clarifies or serves as a reminder of reality, often by correcting a misconception. Correcting the wrong way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You got to realize, church, there's a right way to think. And there's a wrong way to think. And a lot of times we just say, well, there's a godly way to think and a worldly way to think. But you're going to have to break it down just a little bit farther than that. Because our way of thinking has to really line up with God's Word on every individual situation in our life. So basically, you can get the vastness, God's way or the world's way. But what you're going to find, the Holy Ghost is going to bring her down a little bit tighter than that. And He's going to start talking about your way and His way. See, He's going to work with you on an individual basis about the way you're living your life. To put it plain and simple. The way I'm living my life, the way you're living your life, God is going to bring it down to that plane. So what He's speaking to me in this message may not be the exact same thing that He's speaking to you in this message. But both of them are going to be a reality check. Because they're going to bring us to the place and remind us of what God's Word says about a situation that we're in. And whether or not we are obeying God or doing what we want. And the reality check is always to bring us to the understanding of what God wants. Woo. And that's why sometimes we run, you know, like Jonah, we run from God. Not having the reality that God's everywhere. He knows what we think. He knows what we do. He knows what we are. He knows us by name. Yet sometimes our finite minds forget that God knows it all already. And he's just waiting on us to move with him. And so we think we can hide. We think we can run. We think we can get away. And in a sense, you do. But only for just a small time. Why? Well, because God's word is forever settled in heaven. And God's word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you're making wrong choices. That means the Spirit of God's going to be right there reminding you of what's right. The whole time you're doing what's wrong. Yeah, that's His grace. That's His love. That's His kindness. That's not Him condoning what you're doing. That's Him trying to pull you out of it. Trying to pull you out of that pit. Hallelujah. It's a reality check. It's trying to bring you back to reality. That's what the preaching of the word is all about. That's what the teaching of God's word is all about. It is a continual reality check of whether I am living for Jesus, living for God. Am I in that place of commitment to the Lord? Or am I just doing what I want to do for God? That's one of the worst things you can ever do. Is try to do what you want to do for God. You want to know why? Because that means you're in control. And not God. Greatest thing you can ever accomplish is laying before God at an altar of prayer saying, Lord, here am I. Take me, shape me, mold me, and use me. I'm yours. Just get it out of the way and realize that's the greatest power you'll ever have in your life called surrender. Because God can't do anything with you until you do. Can't use you how he wants to use you until you do. And when you find that place of surrender, that's when the doors of opportunity are going to swing wide. And he's going to begin to shape, train, mold, renew, revive, refresh, work wonderful works in our lives, and raise us up to be used in the kingdom of God. Wow. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm in it for him. I'm in it for Jesus Christ. I'm not in it for what it's going to bring to me per se. I'm in it because of who he is, what he has done, but yet his promises are sure forever, amen, that he will bless those who give themselves to him. He will. Hallelujah. And so we find then a reality check is a reminder or something that clarifies reality. Reality. Something that reminds me of God's word, clarifies God's word, so I can walk in God's word. That's what a reality check is all about. Hallelujah. You know, it's just like when the pastor comes by and then speaks something to you, and you walk away and you want, how do you know that? And he has no idea that he said anything that he shouldn't know. What is that reality check? That's the Spirit of God working his works unbeknown to the minister. And it may not be the pastor. It may just be another individual. But what they speak would then be a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. And a lot of times all that happens, we don't even know what's happening. Except that individual does. And it speaks to their heart. What is a reality check of what God's been saying all along. Hallelujah. I mean, I've had a lot of those reality checks. A lot of times God deals in your heart and you're not for sure that it's God. You're afraid that it's not God. You're afraid that it's the enemy. But, you know, that's just how the enemy works. He always wants you to be afraid to do what's right. Did you know it's never wrong to do right? Praise our God. Because if you're actually doing right and led by the Spirit of God, there's going to be no wrong in that. A lot of folks may think it's wrong, but it's not. Sharing truth in love, a lot of folks get offended. That doesn't mean it's wrong. No, that's right. Because that's what we're told to do. And so the reality, where's that word? reality, that clarification. I can. I know what I need to do. Ooh, hallelujah. I've had multitudes of times when I had to have those reality checks because God was dealing with me, speaking to me about things I needed to do or changing the ministry. And I mean, all this right? A reality check for me. It all transpired because there was a reality check in me of this is what God wanted done. Hallelujah. And so we get them quite frequently because sometimes it gets foggy. Sometimes we're wrestling between what we think. I mean, and really this is going to happen after you've been serving the Lord a while. Because you've been serving the Lord so long, you just sometimes automatically think your thoughts are godly thoughts. Yeah. And a lot of times we don't even run them by God. We just think we got it. And we get off into it and we realize, oh, wait a minute. You say, now, Brother Pepper, where's the validity for that? Well, go to Joshua and Ai. Jericho was a mighty victory. Hallelujah. And Joshua just presumed we're going to do the same thing here. And that's not what you do. You don't presume anything. You ask. You inquire, and you stay humble before God, and He'll direct your path. Hallelujah. Presumption always messes you up. How many times have you presumed that your wife knew what you told her? And you come along and it's not done, it's not finished, nothing happened. What happened? I thought I told her. No, you presumed you told her. You never got it done. You forgot yourself. I'm just talking about me. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, you thought you did. You presumed you did. I found out a long time ago, I can't presume everybody in here saved. Just because you look like you are. I can't presume you are. I've got to presume we all need help from God. We all need reality checks from God. We all need to make sure we're looking at our walk with God and make sure it's up to date and it's healthy. I don't like it when I don't feel good. How about you? I like it when I feel healthy. Well, do you realize there's a spiritual health and a spiritual malnourishment and spiritual sickness just as there is in this body? And that's what reality checks are for. To show me where I'm ailing. I've got a malfunction going on in my walk with God. I'll just throw this in here because this is usually the first malfunction the Spirit of God deals with. What's your prayer life like? Is it healthy? Do you pray every day? I'm not saying you have to spend an hour agonizing somewhere in prayer. I said, but do you pray every day? Smith Wigglesworth, someone asked him, how long is a good time to pray? And he just piped up 15 minutes. They kind of looked at him, well, wow, I thought it'd be an hour or a day. Or I said, no, just 15 minutes. But I just don't go 15 minutes without praying. What is that? That's an attitude, a mind frame of keeping God with me all day long. You know, I may not be kneeling down and I may not be agonizing, but what am I doing? I'm taking reality checks all day long. I'm making sure God's with me all day long. I'm communicating with Him all day long. Hallelujah. Keeping the attitude and the mind frame that God's in my life to lead my life, to help me in my life. And so there's a part of my mind, and I realize sometimes for us men it's hard because our box gets full and first one that gets pushed out is Jesus because we know He can handle it. Woo. Hello. No. Got to keep Him there. You know, He may not be in the forefront at that particular moment, but He's still in the box. Hallelujah. So it does go to show we can put more than one thing in our boxes, guys, if we choose to do that. Amen. What is a reality check? Just keep it going. Check in, check out. Check in, check out. I want to walk with Jesus Christ, so I got to be mindful of my walk. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3 and 3. I got to move on here. Oh, yes, I've got to move on. That's the first time I looked at the clock this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Woo. Reality check. So it's going to clarify or remind me of reality, which is God's Word. That's how the Spirit of God works and moves in our lives. It's through the Word of God, whether it's spoken to us or what we already know or what we've read. He's going to put the picture there to direct our path. Wow. Hallelujah. Isn't that like God? He doesn't just leave us to go astray. He saves us so He can direct our path. And He uses the Holy Ghost and the Word of God to do that. Praise our God. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. What substance? Reality. What's reality? God's Word. So now faith is God's Word being hoped for. Woo! I don't know if you've ever heard it like that before or not. Faith. What is faith? It's substance. So faith then is reality also. Faith is reality. See, this is why it only takes a little bit of faith. All it takes is a little bit of reality that Jesus is real to you. You believe Him for great things. If you don't think He's real, you just ain't going to believe Him for anything. You're going to be full of doubt, fear, and unbelief unless He's become real to you. This is what born again is all about, is Jesus Christ becomes real. It's the first reality check for a human being is when Jesus Christ becomes real and you're born again by the Spirit of God. This is why you can't go further in the kingdom until you've been born again by the Spirit of God, because you have no reality check. You don't have that starting point of realness with God. You just know about God. And it's good that people know about God, but you're not going to make it to heaven just knowing about God. You're only going to make it to heaven when Jesus Christ becomes real in your heart and in your soul. Hallelujah. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. There it is again, reality. The fruit of the Spirit is reality. Making it real. Hallelujah. The quality or state of being actual or true. Truth. Hallelujah. God's Word, reality, Jesus Christ. Jude 1 and 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Once again, reality comes from the Spirit of God. Not something that we can conjure up, if I can use that word, in ourselves. It's something we can't make happen ourselves. It is only going to happen as we allow the Spirit of God control in our lives. It's only going to happen when there's surrender involved to the Spirit of God. That's when it's going to happen. Hallelujah. It can't happen any other way. It always happens with surrender. It always happens with commitment, Sister Pepper. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this. Acts chapter number 4, verses 23 through 31. Sister Pepper can make her way back to the piano. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Reality check. They were saying all the right things, and they were praying all the right things. But what needed to be added to that desire and that request was the power of God to perform it. Hallelujah. And God shook the place. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They did not go out, brag about their experience. They did not go out and try to tell people how spiritual they were. They just went out and preached the truth of Almighty God, that He's holy, that He's righteous, and all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died on Calvary, has rose again on the third day, that we might have forgiveness of our sins and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that we might walk with God, that we might know Him. Hallelujah. That we might have reality of Him. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, I praise Your holy name. And I thank You, Lord God, for Your holy word. And I thank You for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The gift of the Father. Hallelujah. The comforter that Jesus has sent back to build the church, to sanctify the church, to renew the church, to revive the church, to use the church. God of heaven, I praise You and I thank You, God, for this reality check in my heart and in my soul this day. Hallelujah, of what Your word declares, Lord God, and where we've got to go and what we've got to reach for. I thank You for the manifestation of Your Holy Ghost this morning, speaking to us wonderful words of life. God of heaven, Lord, help us, oh God, to humble our hearts and have ears that will hear what the Spirit is saying unto us this very morning. Lord, let there be transition in our heart, in our mind. Let there be surrender and commitment, Lord God, to Your glorious cause of the kingdom of God. Father in heaven, just work Your wonderful works that You have begun from the very beginning of this church service today. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. These altars are open this morning. Let us come. Let us find us a place to pray. Let us come and hear what the Spirit. Let us make it a transition. Let us make it the reality check. Let us surrender to what God is speaking to us today.